Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, February 4th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamut. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Howdy.
You know I love a good howdy. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Doody. Good morning.
That was unexpected. All right. So, today for our first topic, I would like to talk a little bit about Siri and the implications therein. John, you mentioned something in Particle Debris that got us off to the races this morning in our meeting, so I'd like to have you bring us up to speed on that.
Oh, here's the headline. U.S. teen arrested after telling Siri he planned a school shooting. A 13-year-old boy in Valparaiso, Indiana, is charged with intimidation after he told Siri that he planned a school shooting. But Siri didn't squeal on him. What he did was he took a screenshot of his conversation with Siri and posted it to social media, and his friends on social media then reported him, and that led to the arrest. Which, it raises all sorts of questions.
Well, before it raises those questions, though, the headline coverage does not at all make the pertinent bit clear that Siri did not write him out. And I understand why the headline was written that way, because, you know, clicks, but the actual story is more interesting, at least from a discussion standpoint, than the headline version right. of it is.
Yeah, which is what we found this morning was not so much the article itself that this kid had been arrested, but what would be the implications if this actually worked. And so far in the coverage that I've seen of this, John, you're one of the only people I think that's actually talking about what if it had been Siri, because everyone else is just saying that he said so and that something happened after and that then he was arrested, but they're skipping the part where it's because he posted the screenshot and other people saw what this person was doing and reported it to law enforcing people.
First of all, we don't know what Siri said in response,
right,
to which would be interesting in itself. And two, as you said, how should Siri have responded? Mm-hmm. How would we like Siri to respond? Is Apple heading in that direction?
Mm-hmm. But also, the thing about this headline is that there is a Siri component, but that component is not the predicator of the headline. And that's the thing that's sort of frustrating, which is why I said people, because there was no Siri involved in what got him arrested. Like, basically,
well, I mean, the headline is factual and yet ambiguous simultaneously, which is right. What's cute about it. What if it had been a U.S. teenager arrested after telling Alexa he planned a school shooting?
Or
that would have been technically correct, too.
Posting a screenshot of Google search results. Like, you know, yeah. Like that, because it was the screenshot that got him reported. It wasn't what the screenshot was of that got him reported, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't web results. It wasn't what the S lady told him. It wasn't what the A lady told him. It wasn't what his Google assistant told him. It was he posted an image that caused other people enough concern that they told on him. That's what happened. And that's not how it's being portrayed.
A whole other subject about being internet savvy and smart, too, about how mm-hmm. teenagers feel about the tools they use and how they use them and the judgment they exercise. That's a whole different subject in itself.
Right. And you can tell because I know there's at least one Twitter account that just automatically retweets when people post unedited pictures of their new credit cards. Because nobody puts their thumb over the number or, you know, anything, and just posts them out in the clear for everyone to see. So
people do that?
Oh, constantly. Yeah.
Why? Why?
I wish I knew. Like, I mean, like, you know, as an example, I told the whole world that my Disney credit card could now come in a Star Wars flavor. And I said, I now have R2-D2 and C-3PO on my credit card. But that was it. I didn't post a picture of it. with numbers on it or anything. I just said, I have one and it's awesome. And I wish you guys could see it. And I left it there. But yeah, there are a whole lot of people who just post a picture of it with all the digits, you know, visible.
So, what does this have to do with what we're talking about?
No, it's talking about
from Subroutine.
having sense, you know, to not post something like that online.
Well,
what I want to talk about is how would we like Siri to respond in a situation like this? How do we see AI evolving? I mean, we all talk about artificial intelligent agents getting smarter and smarter and more intuitive and acting more and more like human beings. Should there come a point where Siri would respond the way a normal human being would respond and report him?
Apple tells us that, you know, what happens on iPhone stays on iPhone. Mm-hmm. And Apple tells us that all our Siri stuff is anonymized, right? So they can't pin something to us, to the individuals that where sound is actually being processed on Apple servers. So the question is, like, would we, I mean, like, I think it's a really easy gut reaction to say, well, yeah, if some kid told Siri that he was going to shoot up a school, that, you know, Apple should have that reported. But how do you define that? Who, I mean, like, when we were talking about this in the meeting today, Dave Hamilton made the point that, you know, just in our group of TMO staff, we would probably be very hard pressed to define what it is that we would find acceptable for Siri to report. Mm-hmm. So, like, how do you do that now on a broad level? How do you do that? Like, it is both a slippery slope, and it puts Apple on the hook mm-hmm. for liability too, and it completely violates the concept that Apple has been building, which is that our devices are not here to spy on us.
Right.
Well, there are ways to deal with that. For example, I can imagine a scenario where Apple says, okay, instead of reporting directly to the police, we're going to use the designated reporting agency for this school, and we're going to pass the information on to the principal of the school or whoever the school is designated, and then get out of the loop and let the teacher carry it forward from there or the principal. So there are ways, administrative ways to deal with this, rather than just Siri dialing 911.
Right. Which we've seen so far. Remember, we did, you know, speaking of, like, you know, Apple sort of knowing better, we did see a wave of warnings that the new Series 4 Apple Watch being able to call people for you automatically if you fell or whatever was going to just completely overload 911 systems, and nobody with an actual emergency was going to be able to get a call through because of all of the fake warnings. And even if you could get through, you wouldn't be able to get a doctor because all of them are going to be overloaded with all of the people doing heart rate warnings because Apple knows better and is going to send alerts to people and people are going to freak out. And I remember, like, that's not happening. Like, we haven't seen any of that come to fruition yet. So, like, at this point, it seems like, as far as that goes, the Apple piece of that equation has been pretty reasonable so far. So, to me, that is at least good. Like, the one thing that Apple is doing where it's reporting something, you know, and it is a little bit out of your control, like, that seems fine.
It's not based on what the Apple Watch is hearing. It's actually based on a different set of input entirely.
Right. But if we're talking about Apple contacting authorities, we had this warning that it was going to overload all of these systems. And so far, we're not seeing that.
That's separate from the privacy issue.
Right.
That's completely separate from the privacy issue. And it's completely separate about Siri from Siri listening into us and then making a decision on whether or not to report something.
Do you lose your privacy when you make a threat of using firearms against other students?
Well,
you lose your privacy in that case.
You
define the threat.
An excellent question. Says and yeah, I mean, like, so we ran through another scenario in the meeting where, and this again was courtesy of Dave. So someone in school, a kid says it at school and someone overhears him. What should that mm-hmm. person do? Okay. Well, if that person is a teacher, that teacher is probably going to behave in one way. If mm-hmm. that other person is a student, that student may behave in 16 different ways. For instance, is it a young kid who is scared to death? mm-hmm. because a senior said it and he's worried about, you know, getting beat up if he reports anything? Is it the student who said it's best friend? Is it the student, you know, and is, I mean, like, you could go through so many different permutations.
It all comes to because people
are making different decisions on how to handle it.
Right. Because people.
So how do we expect Siri? I mean, I don't think Siri needs to be in making those decisions.
No.
I really don't think Siri needs to be making those decisions.
No, I would also rather Siri did not make those decisions. It shouldn't.
Well, Siri in its current state right now, Siri would probably say something like, well, great. I'm glad you're going to do the shoot up. I've got 14 websites here I can deliver to you where you can read more about school shootings.
Oh, see, I was going to say she's just going to, you know, play Duran Duran because that's what she always does when I ask her something and she doesn't know what to do.
Our whole discussion is based on the context of Siri right now, which is Siri's pretty stupid about those things. But in the best of all possible worlds, we want our AI agents to become more human, and more intelligent and more intuitive. And eventually an AI agent in the best of all possible worlds would be as responsible and intuitive.
And I can certainly see governments
full of judgment.
AIs to do this at some point.
Sure. But like,
sure.
John, the example that you came up with was Frank and the Robot, where he does have a robot that is smart enough and able to make those kind of judgments and teaches him to be a thief.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different subject. Once the robot becomes intelligent enough to become intuitive, can you then manipulate it on your own terms? And that's another question altogether.
Right.
I assume an AI agent has to be intelligent enough to recognize when it's trying to be manipulated by its human partner.
So quick side rail, John, where do you stand on the practical effect after 50 years of them existing of Asimov's three laws of robotics? Do they actually cover everything?
I've seen some discussion about how they do not from research organizations, but I can't put my finger on it right now. But there are exceptions have been found. I think even Isaac Asimov wrote stories that demonstrated the flaws in the three laws.
I'm so disappointed that you didn't have a treatise ready to go in answer to my question.
What are you doing with all those subroutines, John?
Yeah.
John. Mm. All right.
Sorry.
We've sent him off on a subroutine. So while
I'm trying to think and nothing happens.
While his processors are all maxing out, I'm going to take a minute and tell all of you about our sponsor this week. Speaking of privacy, our sponsor today is ExpressVPN. And with all the news about online security breaches and what all these different companies are doing with your data, it's hard not to worry about where your data is actually going. So one of the things that you can do to keep your online purchases or checking email if you happen to be on public Wi-Fi and keeping all of that data as your own, you know, and not being tracked by social media websites like Facebook trackers or marketing companies or even like your mobile provider or your ISP, who can, in certain cases, can take all of that data and they can sell it off to other corporations to make even more money off of you. And in order to keep that from happening, one of the things you can do is use a VPN. And I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run in the background. They run on macOS and on iOS. So you can put it on your phone, you can put it on your iPad, you can put it on your iMac or your laptop, and it's a single click and you're protected. And then like if you're home on your known network, you can go ahead and turn it off. It's very, very easy to enable and disable. ExpressVPN also anonymizes your internet browsing, and they do so by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. So even if somebody was trying to track you down, you know, people who are on a particular network, they wouldn't be able to do so. And you can protect yourself for less than $7 a month with this ExpressVPN service. It's the number one VPN service by TechRadar, rated by TechRadar. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can protect your online activity today and get 3 months free by going to expressvpn.com/TDO. Again, that's 3 months free with a 1-year package. ExpressVPN.com/TDO. Learn more and get set up today. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about today was also Siri related. So it's Siri Monday here on the show. And we want to talk a little bit about the rejiggering, I guess, not to use too technical of a term, of the team that is responsible for Siri. And excuse me. So one of the things that I think about when I look at some of this Siri stuff is something that Dave said on the show a while ago about saying that Siri is not a voice first assistant the way some of the others are. And part of the reason that was interesting, at least to me, is because one of the things that he said was, like, if you use it in the car, like, it says, you know, here are some websites, and then it just lists them on the screen for you and doesn't actually give you an opportunity to, like, continue navigating without reading the screen. And that's kind of a frustrating thing, especially if you're, you know, in a position where you can't necessarily look at the screen or spend a bunch of time reading and tapping on stuff. So what we know now is that Bill Stasior, I'm sorry in advance if I'm screwing up your last name, came from Amazon in 2012 to lead the Siri team. And John Gianandrea, who's Senior Vice President of Machine Learning and AI Strategy, is now going to be the person in charge of that.
And he came from Google. He was elevated to a senior vice president position in late 2018 after a relatively short stint at Apple, especially for a very, very, very short stint at Apple for becoming a senior VP.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And he left Google in the first place because he wasn't entirely happy with Google's privacy policies and business model. Mm-hmm. So, yay! I'm pretty excited about this.
Okay, how come?
Because what's happening with Siri ain't cutting it. So let's have someone else who can do something different. Make it better. Bigger, better. Better.
Well, the thing that I have noticed about this is that we heard a lot about how Siri can use machine learning and how AI is a big thing. Like, we heard so much of that in the most recent, in the most recent and second most recent Apple events. They talked a whole lot about machine learning and what AI can do and how these things are going to be better and how much more machine learning you can do with the new processor in the new thing, and on and on and on. Like, we heard so much about it. And it seems like we heard a bunch about it before it was actually a thing that was happening, almost, because this change only just happened. And so that's part of what I'm wondering about is what this means for that team, because, like, we heard so much about this already. You know, so what was happening before that Tim Cook was coming on stage and talking about versus what we have now? Like,
Siri has improved. Siri has been getting better. It needs to get better, bigger, better. I want more. I want Siri to do more, and I want it to do. It's interesting. I had a thought over the weekend. I had a thought over the weekend that just reoccurred to me that of maybe writing a piece along the lines of, I would rather Apple take forever on Siri and get it right than to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And in particular in terms of privacy, and in particular in terms of like being able to keep everything and process things locally on our devices. And that's so much harder to do than what Amazon and even Google are doing. And I think Google does AI better than Amazon's fake AI. Mm-hmm. So, but despite the fact that I'm not going to write that piece, and B, I want more, bigger, better.
We know Siri's getting better when it feels creepy.
That's, yeah, it's not feeling creepy enough, man. Not feeling creepy enough. And I've got, like, I have too many dumb glitches.
Yeah.
in when controlling the very few smart devices that I've got in my house, which is mainly my lighting. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. It's a petty little complaint, but I mean, make Siri bigger and better and do more things and have more information and be able to understand us ever better. Keep going and pushing.
By creepy, I mean astonishment. When you say, how does Siri know to do that? That's cool.
When do you get astonished?
Never.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, because
right. I'm usually disappointed in Siri because it can't intuit what I want.
It's not doing what I want it to do.
But all that said, I want to make this clear: Apple's position on privacy matters.
Yes.
Right. I am thoroughly thrilled with Apple's position in terms of privacy and Apple's continued insistence on taking this path. That part I love. And maybe this was the kernel of this piece I thought about writing. Maybe the slow pace of Siri is required by Apple's insistence on privacy.
Sure. We'd rather get the privacy right first and let the technology evolve.
Mm-hmm. Or I want my cake and eat it too. And I want it to be super private and also bigger, better.
So imagine what our phones will be like in 10 or 15 years. Imagine there'll be petaflops,
like
petaflop capability. And three. Then we'll be standalone.
I don't need 10 or 15. Like, I imagine in 3 years, we're going to see so much difference because, like, yeah, while Siri's not great today,
3 years, but
I mean, while we still have some frustrations with Siri now, like, remember what it was like 3 years ago? Because that was iPhone 6, right?
Yeah.
Because we have 10S, and then we had 10, so that's a year back. And then,
Apple is making progress. I want more progress, right. And I want it faster. And if this shakeup results in that,
yes,
then
hooray.
Then that's fantastic. And this fellow, and I can't remember how to pronounce his last name either. And even when I'm looking at it, I can't remember how to pronounce it. And this fellow who came from Google, he really seems to be a premium prime specimen of humanity in terms of a smart. So yay, I'm excited.
I think what he's demonstrated, Tim Cook, probably is a keener grasp of how to exploit the current hardware than his predecessor had.
Do you have evidence of that?
No, but that's my technical guess.
Well, what's feeding that assessment?
The fact that he got fired and he wasn't keeping up with the technology at hand, you know, the
old guy.
Schiller likes to talk
the
about
previous guy.
Hundreds of gigaflops to take a photo, but there's all this processing power in the phone. Why can't it be better exploited to make Siri better? I think maybe the new guy who got on the executive team, G. Andrea, probably had a more sophisticated technical understanding of how to do that, and that's why he took over.
Yep.
Well,
yeah,
here's hoping.
Let's hope. Yeah.
It sounds like what Brian wants out of the voice assistant in his phone is higher, further, faster.
Bigger, better, bigger, bigger, bigger. I can't just say that three times fast.
I spent the weekend watching the Captain Marvel trailer, so I think everything should be higher, further, faster. That's just me. as we hear more about what comes out of Siri, because the information that I saw, which I think started with a site called The Information, talked a little bit about how John Andrea is taking over the team, but still doesn't have like a lead for it yet. Like it's moving under his purview, but he's still looking for somebody to sort of be the head of the Siri team because he is AI and machine learning. He's the SVP of AI and machine learning, and still needs somebody.
Siri is definitely a subset of that.
Yes, and he's going to be more directly involved, but there's not a lead for it right now because of the guy that left. So there is more change to come to that team, and it sounds like we're all kind of looking forward to that.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here today, Brian. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
And John, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have both of you here today. You can reach us at observations@macobserver.com. You can reach us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont, and I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.